Our guest on our program, Michaela Keenan, CEO of the Boone County Hospital. Michaela, thanks for taking time to visit with us.
Thanks for inviting me, Jim.
I know it's been a busy time. We are, of course, by the time we're on the air with this and everything, we know that fiscal year has wrapped up, new fiscal year getting ready to start. And probably one of the bigger things for you is, yes, I have a CFO.
Yeah, Chris Torres was able to start this Monday, and we're really excited to have him here. He and his family moved up from Texas, so it's been really nice. And I think Sarah Marino did a really good job as our interim CFO, but she is in Alaska right now on a vacation, and I think when she gets back, she is going to be very pleased to have him here and get some of that stuff handed over to him. So we're very excited.
I know he, in the first things that he came in how did it go? What was his feeling as he took, he had an idea of what he was coming into.
He did. He was here he interviewed on a Monday, but he had been here in our area for the whole weekend. And so he had a really good idea of what the community is about, what the organization is about, you know, how things kind of are going here. But I think he spent his first, pretty much this whole first week just kind of getting to know people and starting to dig into the financials and really just starting to acclimate himself to the organization. So, you know, from his point of view, I'm hearing that he feels, very welcomed and, he's really enjoying the organization. And I think that he thinks there's some really great things going on. So excited to see where the future goes.
And one of the things that obviously CFOs have to deal with, if most folks don't realize it, but it's when you get into some of these capital expenditures and you've got some projects and things like that that are coming up and you depend a lot on them to plan for the financing.
Yeah, they help us a ton with planning out financing for some of these big projects. And, you know, we've done a lot of talking about the master facility plan and trying to look at what a project could be for the hospital. And you know, are we going to grow? Where is it going to be? All those kind of questions. And I think that a lot of that is dependent on the financing. And so we do have some big projects in the works. Yesterday, I think we talked about the helipad replacement. Mm-hmm. We talked about some parking lots, and those projects themselves are pretty large. So he's coming into some pretty big engineering projects, and he's going to be taking on the engineering department. So that'll be, a little bit different. And so he's got a lot of projects to kind of wrap his arms around.
Well, he'll keep busy. I know that. It looks like he's going to enjoy the challenge. At least that's what it seemed like to me. I will say, though, that the numbers that he gets a chance to look at through as we're wrapping up this quarter. Now, again, we don't have all the final numbers, you're pretty good financial position right now.
Yeah, we're in a super good financial position right now. The Medicaid directed payments made a really big difference for us this fiscal year, and they will next fiscal year as well. We know that program has been approved by the state for fiscal year 25, and so we're going to continue to keep ourselves in a really good financial position. And I think one of the things that we're going to face is we're going to end up with a pretty big positive bottom line, and we're planning for that. And, you know, I think that sometimes leads to questions as to why we might do that. And part of the reason that we're doing that is because we want to be able to do a project with our building. Our building needs some TLC, and we need to be able to continue to make sure that we're able to care for patients. And, you know, we have a lot of things to think about with where our clinics are located, and do we want to bring those closer to the hospital? There's just a lot of questions up in the air, but we really do need to be able to improve our financial position to be able to, you know, borrow the money to do a project of that magnitude. So that's something that we're working hard on and keeping the hospital in a really good position.
That's one of the things that I think about, too, because a lot of people will say, well, you just got this new addition. Well, it's been a little while, folks. It's been there. That's why we have to have work done on the helipad. And that's not inexpensive doing that. Another one that comes out, the operating rooms. People say, well, you got new operating rooms. Well, 20 years ago.
Yeah, we did. We got that addition there with the ER and the operating rooms, and that area of the hospital was done, I think, over 20 years ago now. So we're really trying to look at the ED in particular. It's too small for the volume of patients that we see. It's getting aged, as we just discussed, but you can really start to see that, the use of that area, the wear and tear on that. And so really trying to look at some of those spaces and how can we best serve patients is something that we're really challenged with, and there's just not a lot of room to keep growing on that end of the building. So that's what's causing us to look at needing to do a bigger project.
And I know with, I keep thinking back to all the specialty clinics and everything that are running through there. That is just such a busy, busy end of the hospital over there.
It is really busy down there. And, you know, the atrium, when you come into the atrium, and that was redone, I think, a few years ago as far as, you know, flooring and furniture and things like that with some COVID funds. And so it's a really nice area to come in and use, but it's very busy. There's, you know, you've got outpatient imaging and cardiac rehab and lab and all those things there. But then also you have surgery and ER, and so it's just kind of a happening end of the hospital. It's where the majority of our stuff is occurring here, outpatient wise, and so it's something that we just really need to address.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the other big things that have been going on. People don't get to see, but I'm sure you now you're up to the point where you can talk a little bit about the server migration. I think everything's been has it all been resolved for that, or are we still working through the process? I know that the migration's been done, but our IT department is basically we're not contracting for that service anymore.
Correct. We are not contracting for that service anymore. We had outsourced that service to an outside agency, mm-hmm. but you know, over the last year we have really worked to bring that back internal. And, you know, the servers were in Pella, and now we have them co-located. There's servers here in our hospital, and then there's servers at Mary Greeley. So we have, you know, duplication and backup systems. And so, you know, it's just something where I think that we weren't maybe getting some of the login times, and some of the things were much slower than we really wanted them to be. And so when I first came here, that was one of the major things that I was hearing from our medical staff and from our, you know, our clinical staff, and was that the system was so slow. And so we really, really took a hard look at that and, you know, tackled that head on. And that was a big, huge project. And so that led to us bringing on Evan, who's our new CIO. He's been here for maybe four or five months. I think he started in February. So, and he was at Mary Greeley previously and helping us with this project. And so it was kind of a natural fit for him to come over. And he has just done an amazing job. He's built the IT team up. We've got a few new folks in there. And, you know, when we had that service outsourced, we didn't need as many staff on our team here at the hospital. But since we don't have the staffing outsourced and the servers outsourced anymore, we had to grow that area staff-wise a little bit. And so he's done a really good job. Our IT folks, they spent, I think they were here overnight on the Memorial Day weekend, making sure that server migration occurred. And it took a little bit longer than they thought, but they got it all done. And wow, I'm so impressed. It was such a heavy lift for them. And they rocked it. They're awesome. Mm-hmm.
One of the challenges, again, people need to understand is, yes, if we have servers here, that means we have hardware that we have to continue to maintain and replace and things like that. But having somebody with the skills to know what's happening there and how to do that networking and stuff, that's really key to doing it. And again, being able to budget for it and plan for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big undertaking. When you think about the servers, you know, they're very expensive. And like you said, they have to be maintained and replaced eventually and those kind of things. But truly, having someone that has the skill set that knows what's happening with those and can help maintain that. And, you know, some of that requires us to look at other partners outside of our organization. There's certain, you know, cybersecurity things and things like that that we work with outside entities on. But for the most part, having that boots on the ground here, having Evan lead that team has been really great for the organization. And I think since the server migration has happened, we've seen, you know, massive improvement in those things that we talked about. Login times, projects getting done, people, you know, when they go to run a report in Meditech, it comes right up instead of them, you know, starting the report, walking away and doing something else and then coming back and then it's there. So I just think that, you know, sometimes things happen in our work day where we don't really recognize how slow things are, and then we fix something and it's like, oh, wow, that is very different. And so for the folks that aren't clinical, I think that's the impact on them. And so it's been a huge win for the organization as a whole.
I got to say that nothing better than having happy physicians.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I felt bad for them when I got here because they were really struggling with that. And Joe and I had talked about that was one of the things that probably we were going to have to address. And so, and I know, you know, he had worked hard on this project as well. And so I think that it's just one of those things that is going to make a difference for everybody. And in the end, it makes a difference for patients. And that's, you know, what we're here for. And so when they can spend the time with their patient instead of spending the time waiting for their computer to boot up and staring at a screen that's not doing what they need it to do, that hinders them from that patient care. And so I think that that's really, really important to our providers. And so I'm excited to see that change happening for them.
And I want people to, again, they might have heard you mention having a redundant system with Mary Greeley. You do have a working arrangement with them. And again, they're more than glad to pair up on some of these things.
Yeah, they've been a really good partner for us in many, many things. You know, critical access hospitals are required to have a agreement with a bigger facility, and they serve that for us. But in addition to that, they just are really good partners. They've been very helpful in many things, and especially this IT project. They kind of went through something a little bit similar a few years back, and so they understood where we were, and they understand what that kind of rebuilding of your IT systems and infrastructure looks like. And so I have to say, I think that without their help, we probably wouldn't be where we are at this point in time with this. And so their help was pretty vital in getting this across the finish line. And so they've been a good partner in many ways, like I said.
Well, we have a lot of other things that are happening. So besides all the IT information, I do know that on the Capitol side, yes, we did turn on the MRI. It's working. And but again, had a couple of things that came up, but still pretty much on schedule and on budget.
I think that we had hoped for a mid-June go live with that, and it went live on June 17th. And so we're really excited. I think that we've seen some already, you know, improvements in the time that it takes to do a study, which is nice if you're the patient, and it's nice for our scheduling abilities to get more people in if it's needed. And so that's a really big win for us. The truck is going to stay here, though, for about a month because we're going to upgrade the computer, and then we'll train again, and then the truck will leave. So if folks are wondering why that's kind of still here, it's a little bit of a transition to get it up and going fully. But our staff are really excited about it.
Once again, back to that IT. He goes, I think we could have a better computer here. So again, that's just some of the things that are happening over there. So we got that part going. Anyway, that's good to have that up and operating, which is good too, because, well, with all the orthopedic stuff going on, that is starting to take off for you too.
It is really starting to take off. And, you know, I was kind of waiting to see what would happen, and I had anticipated that this is what would happen, and so I'm really excited to see that starting to come to life. You know, they started here the end of May, I think May 20th was Dr. Dorman's first day here, and so he did a shoulder scope last week, his first surgery here, and then he's got a total shoulder replacement on the schedule, and then Dr. Peterson came for the first time here in June, and he'll be here like every 4 weeks, and he has already, I think, a hip and a knee replacement on the schedule for July. So it's really starting to take off, and I'm excited to see that continue to grow. I think this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg of what we're going to see with our ortho.
So for them, I know they use, so they're not based out of any other hospitals or anything. I mean, they agree with the hospital they're working with. This is where the work, they will be doing their surgeries and things. Do they have some additional staff they bring with them? Are they, again, I know they've been working with our staff, and our staff has gotten some pretty good recognition previously.
They bring some staff that help them in their clinic setting here. But as far as the OR goes and some of the other outpatient areas, you know, that's all staffed by Boone County Hospital folks. And so, you know, it's just a really good, strong partnership. And, you know, it may be something that we have to look at our staffing too, because as that continues to grow, the needs will continue to grow. And so we're just going to keep an eye on that and see, you know, do we need an extra OR staff? Do we need more clinic registration staff, more clinic nursing? Because we also provide some of the clinic staff. And so just trying to watch how fast it grows and how many patients they're, you know, able to get in. And we don't want people to have to wait. So we do want to see it be busy for folks, and so that they're not waiting, you know, a week or 2 weeks when they need to be seen. And so we just have to keep an eye on that and see what staffing is needed.
And we just know Dr. Paulson continues to do a stellar job.
Oh, he is amazing. He's just such a great person, and I think patients really love him. And he's, you know, he's been very busy. I think one day last month he saw 40 patients in a day, and he did a whole bunch of surgeries, and he's just, his practice is booming. So really happy to have him here on board with us, and, you know, he just continues to you know, be great.
All right. And are births okay? Are we good? What kind of records are we going for here? You are definitely, the numbers have been really good and looking pretty strong here through the end of the fiscal year. So.
Yeah, it's looking like we're going to have around 113 births. I think, you know, June's not quite over. We've got a couple days left, but if we stay on target with what we are aware of, we should have 113 births here in June by the end of the fiscal year. So we're really excited about that. It's about a 30% increase from years past. I think last year we delivered 86 babies, mm-hmm. and I think the year before that fiscal year we delivered 85. And so it's, you know, it's been a labor of love here at the hospital trying to market that service and make sure that, you know, we're taking really great care of those patients and that they're able to spread that word out in the community, because we all know that word of mouth is the best kind of marketing you can have. And so just, you know, really making sure that people understand what we do and how special that care is to us. And so it's been really fun. It's been really fun to watch that grow and work on ways to continue to grow that service.
Putting pressure on your on the birthing suites and stuff, the numbers that are coming in, it seems like it's a pretty busy place.
Yeah, I mean, we have four labor delivery rooms, and it's been, I think there's been days when, you know, we also use our inpatient unit for some overflow from that area, and there's been some times when we are using that overflow, but for the most part, we have had enough space to accommodate, you know, our moms and babies and families, and so I think, you know, it might be something that we look at our master facility plan. Sure. Do we need to add an extra birthing suite? Where will C-sections occur? Those kind of things. Just trying to, you know, make that flow of that area as easy as it can be. So, you know, it has been busy. And I think, again, that's something we just have to keep watching. I think maybe back when Dr. McIntyre was here, they delivered around 125 babies mm-hmm. that year prior to the 85. And so I think that, you know, they were able to support that with sure. the number of LDRPs that we have here. And so it's just something we'll have to really watch. If we keep growing much more than that, we'll probably need to add a LDRP.
Well, you have a couple more physicians that like to do deliveries, so they're coming.
Yes, they are. And, you know, we have those two new providers coming. And I think we've talked about this a few times, but Dr. Holmes will do C-section, which will be really nice, because right now Dr. Hay and Dr. Stevenson are the two providers that do C-section. Yeah. So they're on call 50% of the time. And so I think it'll be really nice for them, especially to have a third person who's able to do that and to go into that rotation with them. And it really helps for, you know, if there's that they need time off or they're sick, sure. then there's another person to help. So that will be really nice. And I think that Dr. Holmes will bring OB to the South Clinic. And I think that that's going to probably help us grow as well. And then adding Dr. Hernandez in Ogden is going to be really vital, I think, to serving that part of the county and even, you know, drawing some from Dallas County, potentially from Perry. And so I think that that's going to really help boost those numbers. And we might really see that continued growth that we're hoping for as we add. Now we'll have five OB providers. And I think that's going to be really, really good for coverage and for our patients.
And especially when, again, we hear, you know, a lot of hospitals around the state, especially the smaller ones, just not able to continue to provide that kind of service. Well, already the arrangement you have with Van Diest in Webster City.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're seeing that there's a lot of OB deserts throughout the state of Iowa. I think the perinatal group was here from the state, and they did a review of our services, and that was back in February. But, you know, they were really complimentary of us. But they did mention all of the units that have closed across the state, I think 40 units since the year 2000. And so that's a lot of access to care that has been taken away. And there's various reasons for that, you know, hospitals choose not to provide that service any longer. But that happened in Webster City. And so when we partnered with Van Diest, I think that's been really positive, so that their family practice doctors can continue to see their patients during their prenatal care, and then they transition over to one of our providers near the end of their pregnancy and then deliver here. And I think that's, you know, a really nice partnership and something that helps address some of the issues of the OB deserts. And, you know, one thing I do want to mention is we have wonderful OB staff. And I think that having such dedicated individuals, we have a great director in there, Dina Sitzma. And I just think that when you have people like that, it helps your department thrive and keep going. And, you know, those gals do a lot of work on staying competent and making sure that They have extra certifications. And, you know, one of our nurses, Christine Vanderleest, helped us get the Silver Sleep award that we have here, the Silver Sleep certification. And there's not many critical access hospitals that have that. We might either be the only one or one of two. And so I think that that's a really big deal when you want to have a service that you're really putting all of your efforts into that service and doing it well.
I almost forgot to mention that one of the things that you had been working on was starting something for urology. People were asking about that. We do have an arrangement with McFarland Clinic, Dr. Paul.
Yes, Dr. Charlie Paul will be coming here. I think he's going to be starting July 12th, so here in about 2 weeks from today, he's going to be doing his first clinic here. He'll be here two Friday mornings a month, so every other Friday morning, essentially. And so, yeah, urology is a service that I think was really needed from our provider standpoint. We do a lot of referring for that service, and so patients are having to drive to Ames or Des Moines to see those specialists. And so this was an opportunity for us. Urologists have been really hard to recruit for the rural areas because there just is not a lot of them. And so when I talked to McFarland and they said, you know, we think we might be able to help do this, we might have a little bit of capacity, I was really excited about that. And I think they are too. We're really excited to come out and help serve this population and to partner on this. And so we're ready for him to get here. And I think, you know, we're starting to see some of those referrals flow in. So it's going to be a really good service.
You know, there's so many other things we could talk about, goals and things like that, and your action plans and stuff, but I'm running out of time. And I did want to hit on some of the big wins you've got. Like how many bags of food are we going to be? You guys are way ahead of what the pace you were on last year when you started doing the kids program.
We are, you know, we're doing the Food for Kids again this year, and it's been really, really good. I think we've seen a lot of donations this year. Our volunteers, our auxiliary volunteers, went out to Fairway at the beginning of the season, and they just collected a lot of food. They got some monetary donations, and so it's worked out nicely. Last year, we gave out a total of around 780 bags of food, and this year, we've already, in 2 weeks, given out 280 bags of food. And so I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the continuity of the program. People recognizing, oh yeah, that's the food program that happened last year, and here I am at, you know, at Boone, for instance, here I am getting my lunch that they're providing. I'm going to now take my bag with me. And so I think that there's a lot of recognition of the program going on, and so that's helping with getting that food out there. Lisa, our marketing director, has a room up here on fourth floor with shelving in it to prepare for this program, and it's just amazing when you look in there. There's bags full of food ready to go and shelves full of food, and so, you know, it's really nice, and I think that really speaks to the need and something that the hospital is trying to help support in the community. We just really want to be helpful and be a partner in you know, people's health. So food is one of those things that's hard to come by sometimes.
And just throwing in the reminder, people can still contribute at any of the grocery stores. Again, Hy-Vee, Fairway in Boone, Fairway in Ogden, and the market down in Madrid. They all have places to set things aside, or in the front atrium. I think you got a collection spot there too.
We do in the atrium. We have totes set up, and then I think our clinics might each have a tote as well for collection. So yes, there's a lot of places to donate. And we will be looking for donations through August, I think. The program this year is going to go a week or two longer than it did last year. So,
Little bit. Yeah, but you know what? You got started earlier this year, too. That helped. You came up very quickly last year and still gave out so much last year. This will be it'll be interesting to see how it all works this year. So
it will be. It definitely will be.
Well, we're just about out of time. Again, big safety reminder. If you're playing with fireworks, be safe.
Yes, be careful,
please.
Please
don't go to the ER.
We don't want to see you in the ER.
Yeah, please. I do appreciate you taking time visiting. I know there's a lot of other things we could continue to talk about, but we're out of time right now. Michaela Keenan's our guest on the program. Thank you, Michaela.
Thanks, Jim.